Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages to you for 20 years now, and so we praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for all the prayers, all the provision for this radio station, and most of all for you, the listener. And we thank you if you've tuned in today for the very first time. We say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. And for those of you who've been with us for many years, we thank you, we appreciate you, and we hope you also continue to tune in each and every Sunday. Today we're going to be talking about the deceitfulness of riches. This is a continuation of a series we're talking about from Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. And Jesus talked about the thorny ground, which is the ground that receives the seed, receives it with joy, starts to produce some fruit and good plants, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out that good seed. And so if you have your Bible there, turn it to Matthew chapter 19. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update. What's happening over there in Kenya? We're in the rainy season, raining just about every day, buckets of rain, and we could use some of that here in Kansas for sure. But we have our crops up and growing. Our maize crop is starting to finish, and it is making a good crop. And so we thank the Lord for that. We also are in the process of building a primary school for 200 to 300 students there in Makunda Village. And it's going to take about $300,000 to build this school, and probably a year of construction or more. And so we are appealing to you if you think you'd be interested in helping with that project. Many of the young children in Makunda drop out of school when they're fourth grade or sixth grade. Some of them make it to eighth, some go on to high school, but a lot of them drop out because they're from Muslim families, and many poor children there, poor families. And so we want to build a school, base it on the truth of the gospel, base it on Jesus Christ, give them a good education. At the same time, we teach them about the truth of the gospel. So it will be an evangelism outreach as well as an educational pursuit. So if you think you'd be interested in supporting that project, let me know. PurePrairie@hotmail.com. That's PurePrairie@hotmail.com. And stay tuned to the end of this broadcast for contact information. Well, today we're going to be talking about the deceitfulness of riches. Again, in Matthew 13, in verse 22, Jesus says that the thorny ground represents the word that is received by a person, and it starts to produce fruit. The plant starts to come up, but then it is choked out by the thorns. And the thorns represent the worries of the world, which we talked about last week in our message, the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And so those two things prevent the person who receives the word from going forth and producing a lot of fruit. And the worries of the world is just the anxiety that comes with the daily grind, the rat race, the anxiety that comes with going to work every day and trying to make the money to pay the bills and keep the kids in school and provide for everything you need, your cable TV, your food, your clothing, your shelter. And then the deceitfulness of riches is the desire for people to accumulate wealth and not do it in a godly way. It's the desire of people to spend all of their time, all of their energy accumulating wealth, accumulating things that they don't need, things beyond their basic needs, and it becomes an all-consuming thing in their life, and they don't have time to get involved in the church. They don't have time to pray because they're roaring out of the house first thing in the morning. They don't have time to study the Bible because they don't think that's a priority in their life. They don't have time to get involved in the fellowship because that's not a priority either. And so as a result of that, they have no spiritual foundation. They have no spiritual root. And so that seed that takes root in your life, it only lasts for a little while, and the thorns choke it out. And so today we're going to be talking more in depth about the deceitfulness of riches. And all through the Bible, Jesus talks about money, God talks about wealth and money and accumulation of material things. This is a theme all through the Bible. It starts in the first chapter of Genesis, goes clear through to the book of Revelation, and Jesus spoke about it many times, about the desire for riches and how it affects a person's life. And so there's a good way to go about accumulating wealth. There's a good way to go about accumulating things that you need in your life. And so you have to keep that spiritual aspect of your life in balance with the material, or you'll get way out of balance and your life will then be consumed by pursuit of material things. And Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 23, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Verse 24, "Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And when the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" And in verse 26, Jesus said, "And looking upon them, Jesus said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Well, God isn't opposed to money. Money is just a medium of exchange. It's not money that is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And so when people start to get money, when they start to accumulate wealth and accumulate property and they accumulate material things, then that becomes an idol in their life. It becomes an all-consuming passion in their life, and they don't have time, as I spoke before, they don't have time to set aside for pursuit of kingdom virtue, kingdom values, and so the pursuit of money then takes over their life. God isn't opposed to money. It's not money that is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of evil. And so that love then becomes idolatry. It takes the place of Jesus Christ. It takes the place of the Lord God Almighty. Idolatry then is what you pursue. That idolatry is what you devote your time, energy, your resources to. And so that becomes then the number one all-consuming endeavor of your life. And so Jesus said, plain and simple, it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That's why the best time to evangelize people is when they're young, and even starting at 6, 7, 8 years old, up to about age 15, it's quite easy to get young people to accept the Lord Jesus, to make a confession of faith, to be baptized. It's quite easy to minister to them. But once they get to be an adult, 21 years and above, it becomes very hard. People get very set in their ways. People start to pursue material wealth, and the focus of their life just becomes that material wealth and material blessings, and they forget about, after a while, they forget about the spiritual pursuits in their life. Well, the good news is, verse 26, Jesus said that with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so when you pray for your children, if you're praying for your children who are far away and not pursuing anything spiritual in their life, they're not pursuing God in their life, when you pray for them, understand this: with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The Holy Spirit can pursue people. The Holy Spirit can convict people. The Holy Spirit can change people's heart. change their mind. And so if you're praying for your children or somebody you know who is way off in the pursuit of money and has no regard for the kingdom of God, keep praying, because you never know when the Holy Spirit is going to convict somebody. You never know when somebody's mind and heart is going to be changed and they will be in pursuit of the things of God. Well, God is not opposed to wealth. He's not opposed to money. It is because of God we have wealth. It is because of God we have money. Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you would turn there in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8 is one of the great chapters in the Bible. Actually, Jesus referred to it in Matthew chapter 4. But Deuteronomy 8 is a lesson or a teaching that Moses gave the children of Israel when they were preparing to go into the promised land. Moses was leading them out in the wilderness for 40 years, and it was a time of testing, a time of trial, a time of difficulty, and all of the older generation of people were dying out there in the wilderness, and God was just allowing the young people to go into the promised land. He wanted to start fresh with the young people. And so Moses is preparing them to go into the promised land. And he says in verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 8, "And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and he let you be hungry, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." That is the very scripture that Jesus quoted in Matthew chapter 3 when the devil came to him and the devil said, "Jesus, turn these stones into bread. I know you have the power to do that. I know you can work miracles. I know you're very hungry." Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. And so the devil came to him at his time of weakness, at his time of vulnerability, and said, "Jesus, why don't you just make it easy on yourself and turn these stones into bread, then you can have something for yourself to eat." Well, Jesus spoke to the devil and he said, "Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And so bread represents provision, bread represents material gain, material wealth, the things that we need to sustain our material life, sustain our physical life, and also to provide for us the things that we need, the accumulation of wealth. And so Jesus said, "Man cannot live by bread alone." And so when you pursue bread all the time, that's all you pursue, and your life is very out of balance because you have no spiritual pursuit. You have no desire to go to church. You have no desire to pray. You have no time or desire to study God's word. That you're trying to live by bread alone. You're trying to live by just the material pursuit, the things that you can see, the things that can sustain you is the bread in your life. And Jesus said, you have to live by the word of God. You have to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Jesus had been at that time fasting and praying for 40 days. He was preparing himself for a showdown with the devil. And beloved, you have to do that every single day. You have to prepare yourself for a showdown with the devil, because you're in a battle with the devil. If you are a believer, you have a bullseye on your back, and the devil is throwing his darts and shooting his arrows at you. He's trying to penetrate your gospel armor. And so the way that you can defeat the devil in your life and prepare for the showdown with the devil in your life is to get the word of God in you. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so when you get every word that proceeds from God, you get it hidden in your heart, you start to focus on God's Word. You start to build your life on God's Word. You start to meditate on God's Word. When you do that, then your life becomes centered on the kingdom of God, and you will defeat the devil in your life. So many people in the USA, and not just the USA, but also Kenya, they don't have a good balance of spiritual activity, of seeking the Lord in their life. That's not a pursuit of theirs, and so they turn to alcohol, they turn to drugs, they turn to pornography, they turn to all kinds of destructive habits, and so that becomes the destruction of them because their life is out of balance. And if you're listening to me today and your life is out of balance, maybe you're in a treatment center, maybe you're in a prison, maybe you're in your own prison of drug addiction, maybe you're in your own prison of pornography addiction, start to read God's Word. Start to fill your heart with the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so if you get that word in your heart, you get that word in your mind, you get that word on your lips, and you start to speak it, you start to see your life the way God sees it, you start to see yourself the way God sees you, and you start to reach for and move to your destiny and your calling in the kingdom of God. Well, let's jump on down, if you would, read that on your own, that Deuteronomy 8. Let's jump on down to verse 15. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, and he brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed you manna. That's a reference to provision. Because the children of Israel were out in the wilderness, they didn't have food. It was a desert place, a dry place. They couldn't grow food, and there was 2 million people or maybe more and their livestock, and God gave them manna to eat. He rained manna on them every single day, a food that they'd never seen before, a food that made no sense to them. How did this come? Where did it come from? And it tasted like coriander with honey. And so this food was given to them, and this is a representation of God's provision for you. You don't need to be anxious about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to put on your body. God will provide, just like he provided the children of Israel out in the wilderness. He provided the manna, and they didn't have to sweat for it. They didn't have to strain. They didn't have to work 18 hours a day for it. And so God gave them the manna that sustained them for 40 years. He fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you might say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. Well, beloved, every single day you need to get up and thank God. You need to praise God for what he has done for you, what he has given you. And don't get too proud about who you are. Maybe you have a great farm. Maybe you have a beautiful tractor. Maybe you have a good business or many businesses. Stay humble, stay low, in all things give thanks. Give thanks to God for what he has given you. Beloved, when I come back to the USA from Africa, I just want to get down on the ground and kiss the earth here in the United States. This country has been blessed so much by God, and you can't even imagine it until you start to travel to other countries, until you start to travel to other places. Then you understand what a great, great blessing this country is. The physical blessing, all the minerals, all the forests, all the fresh water, the rivers, the lakes, and then the wisdom that he gave our founding fathers here in America, and the wisdom that he gave them to create this government that we have, a model for nations, for democratic nations all over the earth. And America is so blessed, and so you need to kiss the earth. You need to thank God each and every day. If you have a great business, if you have a good farm, if God's given you witty inventions, if he's given you ideas that will allow you to create something, then you're doing that in the image of God, because our God is a creator. And so you can create things, you can create businesses, you can create fortunes, just like Elon Musk. You can create fortunes that without God's help, without God's direction and his blessing, you would never, ever be able to do that. And so, verse 17 again, otherwise you might say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. Don't get prideful about who you are. Don't think that you're so great, you're so wonderful, that you created all this stuff yourself. If you had been born in Kenya, beloved, you may be scratching for $3 a day and trying to put food on your table. It just doesn't happen automatically in the U.S. The blessings of God have been on this nation since the very beginning. And so it's easy here to start a business, it's easy to create wealth, but don't get prideful about how that all happens. Understand, this is a blessing of God. When you align yourself with God, then you can put that blessing to work and create wealth just like God creates things. And in verse 18, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore with your fathers as it is this day. Well, our fathers, he didn't swear that same covenant to us, but the application is the same for us today. You can create wealth. You can start businesses. You can buy land. You can buy a farm. If you're at the bottom of the pole and you don't have any of those things, just get a job and go to work. Prosperity begins with hard work. Prosperity ends with hard work. And if you want to prosper, you can do that. Put your hand to the plow. Get started moving in the place God wants you to move. Get started in the direction God wants you to do. Put your hand to the plow. Keep going and save your money. Don't waste it. Don't be a spendthrift. Don't try to accumulate things that the neighbors have that you can't afford and you charge it all up on credit cards. Give thanks to the Lord for the job you have. Work it with diligence. Do your work as unto the Lord, and you will start to be blessed. You will start to see the blessing of the Lord come on the work of your hands. The Bible says, in all labor, there is profit. And so get busy, get up off the couch, get away from the computer. In all labor, there is profit. Get moving and get going, and you will prosper. Verse 19, this is a warning from the Lord. Warning from Moses, and it shall come about that if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. And so it is with America also. If we don't pay attention to God's direction, if we don't give thanks to the Lord for his blessing on this nation will perish. And if you as a family, if you as an individual person, if you don't give thanks and blessing to the Lord, you will not succeed. You will perish. And so that is a warning for the United States of America. In our wealth, we have in many ways forgotten God. In our wealth, we have forgotten to give God thanks and forgotten to give God the honor and respect for the things we have in this great nation, for the government, for the nice roads, for the airplanes and the airports and all these things. They're so beautiful here in the USA, the beautiful farms, the beautiful machinery. We need to give thanks to the Lord. If we don't, this nation is going to perish. This nation will not survive. Our enemies will come in and take over this nation, and they will do it without firing a shot, because this nation will decay from within if we do not honor the Lord our God. Well, I'm going to close with just a couple of scriptures from Proverbs. And again, the Lord is not opposed to riches. 11:24, there is one who scatters yet increases all the more, and there is one who withholds what is due and it only results in want. Proverbs 11:25, the generous one will be made prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. When you accumulate wealth according to God's plan, according to the way God wants you to do it, he will add no sorrow to it. You will not be anxious. You will not be lying awake at night in turmoil and in anxiety, because God adds no sorrow to the wealth that he gives to you. Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. And so it is, beloved. God gives us the power to make wealth. He blesses it. When you do it God's way, there will be no sorrow. There will be no deceitfulness of riches. When you give God the glory and honor for what you have, he will bless it, and you will be blessed. The kingdom of God will also be blessed. Well, I hope you enjoy these messages. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We thank you for all the support over the many years. We'd love to hear from you today. We'd love to hear from you. Say you want to help us build that primary school there in Kenya. You can contact us at Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Jim Rao. You can use your credit or debit card at PayPal, paypal.me/Gather the Outcast. That's paypal.me/Gather the Outcast. We'd love to hear from you today. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down, write us out a note, let us know you're listening, include a generous donation so we can keep the work going in Africa and keep these great radio broadcasts coming to you. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.